Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here again with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this night?
Hi, Steve. Good. Nice to be back with you this evening, where we're going to read God's Word and do a little teaching and do a little conversation. And it's always good to be here on Saturday evening. Last week, Steve wasn't here, took the week off, and you got to hear. You got to hear Rabbi Eric Licatos talk about Messianic Judaism. Today, we're going to get back to kind of our usual format. We're going to jump into a New Testament teaching and maybe approach it from a little different point of view than you might be used to. But, you know, the really awesome things about all of the Scripture is that since it's inspired by the Holy Spirit and written through a human author, there are so many different things that come to you, so many different manifestations that come to you, and just so many different lessons that can be learned from every verse, because of course every verse is there for a reason, and every verse is there to inspire us and to teach us and to, you know, for God to reveal himself through his word. And we're going to start with a lesson from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke, of course, was a very prolific writer. He wrote, of course, the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. He was a physician, and he was a very well-organized man who took a lot of notes and interviewed people and, you know, kind of did the research, did the homework, and then he wrote his gospel. And we're going to jump into chapter 5, and in a second we're going to have Steve read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So if you want to get your Bible and get ready, but since Steve has made it through the snow today. Oh, there's no snow today. Last week he didn't make it through the snow.
No. I did not.
No. So anything you want to say, Steve, before we get started?
Well, you know, as you're talking about how the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Gospels and the writers of, you know, the book of Acts and all the other books that are in the Bible, Romans, mm-hmm. Hebrews, you know, the Holy Spirit continues to work through the ages in God's people. And there's, you know, we have 2,000 years of salvation history, and the church has 2,000 years of teaching mm-hmm. that has been developed from that inspiration of the Holy Spirit and coming to understand God's revelation more fully and more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's there's so much history and there's so much to learn about the Bible mm-hmm. and about the history, salvation history, that that's why there's shows like this, because it's an endless topic to talk about.
Yeah, and you know, over the last few weeks or so, we developed the concept of the covenants that God made with people, and the covenant of law and the covenant of grace, and how through God's love we become adopted sons and daughters of the Father. And I hope that you've been listening and, you know, thinking about these things when during the week and when we're not on the air, and you know, that this have made an impression on you. You know, the ancient rabbis used to teach that studying the scripture was like peeling an onion. You took off one layer and then there was another layer, and you took off that layer and there was another layer. And I'm sure all of you that are listening have experienced the fact that you can hear an awesome teaching about one verse of scripture that can last for 3 hours, and it's one verse.
Right.
I mean, obviously we try to cover like a theme and, you know, in several verses and maybe several chapters even, but the scripture can be studied even word by word.
Right. I know there's even times where you and I say, "Do we have? Are we going to have enough for the show today?" And it ends up being two shows.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah,
there's always a lot that we can talk about, and I think it's important to understand that in that, you know, Jesus, as we've talked on the last several shows about the covenant of law, the covenant of grace, being adopted son and daughter of God, mm-hmm. that in spite of our sinfulness, Jesus willingly laid his life down for us. You know, mm-hmm. in scripture, he says, nobody takes my life. Mm-hmm. I lay it down willingly. I take it. I lay it down and I have the power to rise it up again.
Yes.
And I think that's important for every one of us to understand as we study scripture, that in God's plan of salvation, Jesus, out of his great love and mercy for us, chose to lay his life down.
Mm.
Because of our sinfulness, yes. But in spite of our sinfulness, he didn't say, I'm not going to lay my life down for those wretched people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to lay my life down so I can save those people, my people. And I think that's very important to understand as we study the Gospels and we study the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that in spite of our sinfulness, even today, God chooses to use any one of us
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
who is a sinful creature.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, you know, it's just amazing that God can work through us.
Yes.
In spite of our own human nature sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
and if you read through both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see example after example of God choosing somebody, that person rebelling, I don't want to do this, I can't do that, person being restored. And the thing that I hope everyone gets out of this, of the what's gone, you know, before this show, is the fact that the good news, you know, gospel, of course, means good news. The good news of Christianity, the good news of the plan of salvation is that even though we're sinners, we're saved by what Jesus did on the cross.
Right.
And we can be used in his kingdom to proclaim the word, to bring other people into the kingdom.
Right.
To teach other people, to do radio shows. Yes. I mean, to do whatever.
Whatever God's calling us to do.
Yeah. And no one has, you know, we certainly don't have the credentials to say, well, here we are and we're ready to do this.
No.
Yeah. And, the 12 apostles certainly didn't have any credentials. And we're going to see in a few minutes when we get into this teaching, you know, kind of how they thought and how they reacted to things that happened. But they were used to begin the church, spread the word, mm-hmm. and over the next 20, 30, 40 years, literally changed the world from what it had been before.
Yeah. And, you know, they did it through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And not by might.
Mm-hmm.
But by being docile to mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit,
yes.
listening to what God was telling them to do, and then following mm-hmm. that command.
Yes.
And that's, you know, even in my walk with the Lord, I know sometimes my own humanness will get in the way because I think the Lord is maybe saying one thing to me or sensing the Lord is saying one thing to me. But it's not, you know, the Lord wants me to do, it's a little more fine tuned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta, and that's the sense, that's just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I think,
yes.
as to, you know, how does God want you to approach things? But in all things, he wants you to approach things in love.
Yes.
Because that's what Jesus did.
Amen.
And if we're to follow the master, you know, Jesus said, no disciple is greater than his master. Mm-hmm. So we just have to follow the Lord. And, mm-hmm. and the greatest example he gave was the gift of love by laying his life down on the cross for us.
Amen.
So.
It's the good news, you know,
it is.
It's amazing. And, you know, it goes back even to, you know, the book of Hebrews really points it out that the Old Testament priests were sinners, so they had to offer sacrifices for their sins and then the sins of the people.
Yeah.
You know, New Testament people are sinners too.
Yes.
But Jesus has already paid the price.
Right.
Which allows us to repent, to be restored, to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the gift of grace, which happens to be the name of this radio show.
Yeah, it is. I knew I heard that somewhere.
Yeah. And it really is a pretty awesome name when you think about it in those terms. But
yeah.
Well,
yeah, it is.
Steve, how do you feel about reading?
Well, let's see. Luke chapter 5. Let's start with verse 1.
1 through 11. Why don't you just read it first, and then we'll start talking.
Okay. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Gathering into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon, Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men."
Ooh. What a great scene. You know, we have Jesus preaching to a crowd. We have three fishermen there that are going to really be involved in changing the whole history of the world, literally, Peter, James, and John, who know him, they've heard him, they're cleaning their nets, their boats are there, they're tired, and Jesus is going to tell them, put into the deep,
mm-hmm.
go back out there, and I'm going to show you something. And this gospel, as we're going to develop, is an example of the harvest. This time it's a harvest in a water. You know, normally he talks about harvest on a field, you know, call more workers, the field's ripe for the harvest. But here, you know, we're talking about boats, we're talking about fish. So here's Jesus, he's preaching at the shore, and there's a big crowd. And as he's talking to the crowd, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's on the same level as the crowd. He's there on the shore, and there's people all around him. And it says the crowd presses in to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, when you, if you remember some time ago when we did the lesson of the prodigal son, we learned that the Pharisees and the educated people and the holy people, they called these kind of people the people of the land. It was like a demeaning term for, you know, kind of the commoners out there that were sinners and kind of just, you know, schlepping around. And these are the people that wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. These were the people that wanted to hear this word. And he taught with authority, and he taught in a way that appealed to them. They wanted to hear what he had to say. It says that they pressed in to hear this word.
Right.
A big audience. I mean, a lot of people there. And many of you in the audience, you know, that are pastors and ministers and priests or evangelists or, you know, anybody out there who preaches to big groups of people know that if there's a big crowd of people, some people are going to get the message and some people aren't going to get the message.
Right.
But these people were pressing in, and, you know, maybe only a few of them were going to be converted. Maybe only a few of them were going to be followers, but they were interested. You know, they're coming in. They're the common people, the people of the land. And, you know, Jesus was kind of a popular preacher. You know, everybody kind of heard of him by now. And, you know, when he showed up someplace, people went to listen to what he had to say. You know, he kind of had this, you know, reputation already. And so people wanted to hear him.
Right.
Plus they also heard that he did signs and wonders. You know, wow, this is the guy who does miracles and stuff. So maybe
right.
we should go over there. Maybe we'll see something happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll do something really cool, really impressive. So these people are pressing in, you know, and he's on the shore and he's like on their same level. You know, this is kind of neat because the human Jesus of Nazareth is on the same level as the people.
Right.
You know, he's the ever-existent God, but in his humanity, he's Jesus of Nazareth who, you know, looks like an ordinary man and is there among these very ordinary people and is not, you know, kind of 10 feet in the air preaching down to them or doesn't have this big booming voice coming out of the clouds. He's just talking to them on their same level to the point there where there's so many people where, you know, he gets in the boat and pushes out a little bit so that, you know, they don't push him into the water and more people can crowd in.
Right.
And he can talk to this big crowd.
Right. Well, you know, as you're saying, Jesus is you see the humanness of Jesus and he's taking something that they're very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
They were fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
They understood what it was to fish and how to catch fish. So he takes them where they're at. And shows them what they're going to be doing, but in a spiritual term.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you see that all through the Gospels that Jesus will talk with people where they're at, and teach them that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know, Peter, it's kind of neat that Peter and James and John, they're on the shore there, right by this crowd, and they're cleaning their nets or fixing their nets or whatever.
Right.
And they're tired because they've been working all night.
And they haven't caught anything.
They haven't caught a thing. So, you know, those of you that have done a lot of hard work and nothing's come as a result of it can kind of understand this.
Right.
And they're listening to him, and they're also cleaning their nets. So they're kind of doing, you know, normal things that they normally would do.
They're multitasking.
Multitasking. Yes. And you know, the crowd is intently listening
mm-hmm.
to what he has to say because he has this authority to speak.
Right.
That even the Pharisees sometimes say, where do you get this authority? How
right.
do you? But the common people, the people of the land, just really love to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're coming up on a break already. And we're gonna listen to a little bit of music. But first, I want to tell you that the Gift of Grace now has a Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook if you search for Gift of Grace. You can find some periodic announcements and make some comments on the show if you'd like. If you're a church that would be interested in advertising on our program, that would be one way to get a hold of Steve and I. And Steve, why don't you also say about the webpage?
Right, we have a webpage now. It's called www.giftofgraceministries.org, and there you can reach us by email. There's some Bible teachings, there's some archives of the radio show on there, and it's under development, but we'll continue to add things onto it as time goes on. Keep checking in. That's www.giftofgraceministries.org.
The Gift of Grace with Phil and Steve will be back after this timeout.
Use the weak to need the strong. You lead us in the song of heaven victory. And all your people sing along. So remember your people.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani with Stephen Garchar, and we're starting to go through a teaching from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And interestingly, when Jesus was done speaking, when he was done with his lesson, it doesn't tell us what he's saying.
No.
But when he was done speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." Now, that's kind of neat, because here's these guys, you know, they're cleaning their nets. They've been working all night. They're tired. He says, okay, he's already in Peter's boat because he's using it as a pulpit. Because he's got this big crowd, you know, and they couldn't go into the local synagogues. All these people wouldn't have fit.
Yeah, and they weren't there to watch Peter fish.
That's right. That's for sure. And, he's using the boat as a pulpit.
Right.
And the shore of the Sea of Galilee here is, you know, kind of like the church, the synagogue, the congregation. They're all out there by the water. So he says, put out into the deep and lower your nets. You know, and the Latin term for this is duke and altum, put out into the deep.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word there that's used there is bathos, which means in the profundity. So it's like a real deep place. You know, like the profound deeps. I mean, I'm not sure how deep the Sea of Galilee is at that point, and I'm not really even sure where they were.
Right.
But I assume they were by Peter's house in Capernaum, because Peter was out cleaning his net after working. So, you know, he tells them to go out. So this is a calling. You know, this is, you know, like when the Lord calls you and says, mm-hmm. go over there and do this music, right. Or go over there and teach this study, or go over there and tell that person something, or, you know, he gives them a calling.
Right.
He's already in the boat. He gives them a calling. Let's go out there. So interestingly, like you mentioned before, a little while ago, this was their occupation.
Right.
So Jesus is saying, okay, let's get back into your occupation, get back in the boat, get the net, go out into the deep, put your net down for a catch. Now, Peter's a fisherman, you know, and he's kind of a loud mouth, you know, he's kind of a smart guy. I should say, you know, smart alecky kind of a guy. Jesus is not a fisherman.
Right.
He was a carpenter and he's a preacher. And, you know, Peter could have said, listen, you seem to be a nice guy and you seem to be pretty smart and you seem to know what you're talking about. But listen, I'm a fisherman. We've just been out there all night. We've just been working. We haven't caught anything. We're not going to go back out there now because, you know, I'm sure you're a good carpenter and you're a good preacher,
right.
But we know about fishing.
Right.
You don't know about fishing. We know about fishing.
Right.
But he doesn't say that. You know, you can kind of imagine maybe this was going through his mind. Like, what's this guy want us to do this again for? We're tired. But he does it.
We just cleaned our nets, and now we're going to put them back out again.
Just clean the nets. Good. So he's like, you know, Jesus is saying, you're going to go back into your occupation now because I'm calling you to something. You know, all of us have an occupation that we can use to minister to people, to evangelize people, to reach people, to proclaim the word of the gospel, the word of the kingdom to people,
right.
While we're doing our occupation.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You don't have to be a pastor or a minister or a priest or a rabbi or a deacon or, you know, because it can happen in every occupation.
Exactly. God calls everybody to proclaim the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
And to reach people.
That's right.
Because not everybody goes to a church. Mm-hmm. Not everybody goes, you know, to a Christian church. Not everybody goes to a Catholic church. Not everybody goes to a Messianic synagogue. Not everybody goes to a Jewish synagogue.
Right.
But everybody goes somewhere.
Right.
And some people don't go to church at all.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants to reach those people. And it's very important for us to, and I know we've talked about this on the show before, is that no matter where you're at, no matter what your occupation, and no matter in what way God chooses to use you, if his plan for you is that you're going to bring three people to salvation in mm-hmm. your lifetime,
yes,
then those three people are important.
Yes.
If his plan is that you're going to bring 300 people to salvation in a lifetime, those 300 people are important. But the point is where you're at and what you're doing makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And people see, you know, whether you're in your workplace, you're in your family or anywhere, you know, they see, is that person, if they see the love of God in someone, people recognize that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And they can be drawn to that. And, right. and that's really what we're called to do, is to be a light.
Right. And know? We talked before on this show about how you approach people where they are.
Right.
And when we did the woman at the well, you know, Jesus is there with this woman and he doesn't go up to her and say, listen, I happen to know that you're living with this man and I happen to know everything about you. He engages her in a conversation. He reaches her where she is. You come in here for water. It's hot. Everybody's right. thirsty. Give me some water. I mean, these are things that people understand.
He doesn't tell her that if you don't repent, you're going to go to
yes,
hell.
Exactly.
He doesn't say any of that stuff.
Exactly. And now, you know, he tells Peter and James and John, let's get in the boat, pick up the net you just cleaned.
Yeah.
Get the, you know, I know you just got the seaweed and stuff out of it, but now we're going to go back. Now, it says they worked hard all night and caught nothing. You know, the Greek word there means they were just very fatigued. They were just exhausted.
Their labors were fruitless.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, they were hoping they were going to get their nets cleaned out and they were going to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grab a sandwich and go to bed.
Go to the deli and...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Put the news on, see if anything happened while they were fishing. Then they were going to go to bed. But now, all of a sudden... It's okay. Let's get back on the boat. I'm calling you to get back on the boat and put your nets down for a catch. So Peter says, you know, we worked hard all night. We're tired. We didn't catch anything. But at your word, we're going to go again. So Peter's actually doing something awesome here. He's actually saying, well, we already tried to do this, but since you're telling us to do it, we're going to do it.
Yeah, at your command, we'll do it.
Right. Even though we're tired, even though we haven't slept, even right. though I was looking forward to kind of going home and unwinding and going to sleep, at your word, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
In faith, we're going to do this again.
Right.
So he responds to the call.
Right. And you know, as you're saying that, I'm realizing it wasn't when they had just gotten up from a good night's sleep and they were refreshed and they weren't tired and they were ready to go and, you know, yeah. they were all prepared. It was when they were tired, they probably felt like going home. Mm-hmm. They were probably discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Jesus telling them, put your nets down again.
Yeah.
You know, and they caught so many fish that their boat was in danger of sinking. And as you're talking about this, I'm realizing how this call is fulfilled so exponentially through the Gospels and through all their writings, because if you think of all the people that have come to salvation through the apostles,
mm-hmm.
you know, by doing what God asked them to do,
well,
you know, that's a big catch.
Many, many, many tens of thousands.
Yeah, it's a lot of fish.
And then, yeah. And then when you throw Paul into the mix a little bit later.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally reached the whole known world of the time.
Right. Right.
And they changed the world because they responded to this.
To the call. But it's amazing that they're frustrated. They're probably tired. And you're like you're saying, they probably just want to go home, get some rest, and
yeah.
let's put the day behind us and try it again tomorrow.
Right. Now, see, had we been there, knowing what we know and knowing who Jesus is, the one thing we could be sure of knowing this is that if we got in the boat and we went onto the deep and we put the net down, we were going to be successful. Because mm-hmm. after all, here's Jesus.
Right.
They didn't really have this all down.
No.
You know, like I say, you know, he seems to be a nice guy. I'm sure he's a good carpenter. I don't think he knows anything about fishing, but, you know.
Draws a pretty big crowd.
Yeah, it draws a big crowd. And, you know, there's something about him, you know, that we want to respond to what he's doing.
Right.
And so no matter how tired they are, they submit.
Right.
They surrender. They accept this call. And in some way, you know, this is an example of when he calls you to the labor, you know that the labor is going to be successful.
Yeah, right.
You know, if Peter would have said, well, you know what? You guys, we're tired and we've been doing this all night and we haven't caught anything, but let's go give it another try. They probably wouldn't have caught anything because, you know, it would, when we plan things, we don't know how they're going to work out. But when he's planned it and he's made the call and mm-hmm. he has set up the circumstances to say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get in the boat. I want you to go over there. I want you to put the net down. The big catch comes.
Yeah.
And this isn't just true of Peter, James, and John with their fishing business, which, you know, they probably weren't getting rich on their fishing business. They were kind of, you know, subsisting.
Until now.
Yeah, until now. Then they were going to be really famous. But, I mean, we're still talking about them 2,000 years later.
Yes.
But in any kind of ministry work, you know, if you think about this for a minute, most of us, I know Steve and I have done this. I'm sure you people listening have done this. Well, let's plan what we're going to do at this place. You know, you're going to go over there. We're going to say this. We're going to play this song. We're going to do this. And then you go and you do those things and six or seven people come and everybody sits there yawning and says, okay, this was nice. And you say, oh man, this didn't really work out the way we thought.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel a call from the Lord that says, go to that place, play this music, preach this word, and things happen, you know it's because he called it, he set up the circumstances.
Right.
He made this possible because he's orchestrating it, not Peter, James, and John.
Exactly.
Who exactly. were tired. Now, they get up, they get in the boat, they get the net in the boat, and they start to go out. So even though they're tired, you know, he has renewed their strength. He has, you know, whatever you want to say, energized them again.
Right.
They've been doing this all night.
Yeah.
And who knows how long they've been cleaning their net. So they're pretty tired. I mean, they got to listen to the sermon.
Right.
While they were doing it. So they kind of, you know, they worked, they had church, they cleaned the net, and now they're back in the boat going back out to where they just were.
Right.
Because he's energized them and he's given them the strength back. And, you know, listening to what he was saying is, you know, the equivalent of, well, it's the same as, you know, you hear God's word. They heard him preaching. Even if they were scrubbing the net, they're kind of listening.
Mm-hmm.
They're listening. So they hear God's word. Then he calls them. You know, calls them, in this case, to go and do something.
Right.
Calls us to go and do something. So, you know, you hear the word being taught, being preached, and then you feel this calling to, I should do this. I should go over there. I should put out into the deep.
Yeah. It's important that you respond to that prompting. Yes. And we see this, you know, as we talked about the Old Testament, you see in the Old Testament just as well as in the New Testament where God would call his prophets
mm-hmm.
and they would, here I am, Lord.
Yes.
Hineni.
Hineni.
You know, here I am, Lord. And that same response, God desires that same response from us. Here I am, Lord. Mm-hmm. I come to do your will.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a constant, throughout the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. And these tired, really exhausted guys who were a half hour ago thinking, oh boy, I can't wait to go to bed.
Yeah.
Are now, hey, let's get back on the boat because he wants us to go out there. And it's the response to a call.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than if, you know, if Steve calls me at 11 o'clock at night and says, let's go out to the corner there. And I say, oh, listen, man, I've been working all day. I'm tired. I got to go to bed. That's what the frame of mind these guys were in.
Yeah.
But now they're back in the boat. They're going back out to where they just were. And this whole idea about the deep, you know, it's like out in, you know, it's going to be a place of a harvest time. You know, it's going to be a place equivalent to when he talks, when Jesus talks about, you know, look at the fields around you. Look at the harvest. You know, there's not enough workers.
Right.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers. You know, the field is ripe.
Right.
For the harvest. They're going out into the deep. You know, Jesus and these three guys are going out into the deep. It's going to be a place of harvest. It's, you know, it represents the world.
Right.
It's a big area. It's a deep area. It's a big area. There's lots of fish in there.
Yeah.
There's lots of people out in the world that have not heard the word, have not heard the gospel, maybe have heard of Jesus, but doesn't mean anything to them.
Right.
Busy people. And they don't have to be necessarily in Mongolia or in the middle of Africa or in the middle of wherever we traditionally think is mission territory. They can be people that you work with. They can be your next door neighbors. They can be people in your family.
Right.
Hey, they can be people you run into at the store. You know, you go to someplace and get a sandwich and all of a sudden you run into someone who you realize has never heard the gospel, doesn't know anything about Jesus, doesn't know anything about the things you know about, and you have an opportunity to say it.
Right.
It's a big area of harvest, big number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to go into that deep. He wants us to go out into that field and put down the net. You know, the net is the gospel.
Right.
It's the net of the gospel. You know, it's like you put the net down and you bring them in.
Yeah. You got to have your net ready all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you bring these people into the kingdom. And just like Peter, James, and John, we might be frustrated. We might be tired. We might be discouraged. But he's got news for us. It's not about us.
Right.
Being tired is not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go today because I have a runny nose. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
The calling is you got to go today because you have this big harvest in this big deep that has to be brought in.
Yeah, you know, it's a good example of that in our weaknesses, in our time of weakness, or, you know, when we may feel the most vulnerable or the most discouraged.
Yeah.
I know I've experienced this as well. There's something that happens, and I just think, wow, praise God, you know, because all of a sudden something happens, and it's like, wow. And you know, it's God. It's not by any of my strength that I did something.
Right.
And it's just so interesting that, well, maybe not even interesting, but it's just that in their weakness, God shows his sovereignty or his, you know, his mercy. You know, and this is such an example to them. I mean, you have to think, here's Peter or Simon at that point. The Lord hadn't renamed him yet. And he's with all of his, you know, the people that he fishes with. And they know what it's like to fish, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what a good catch is.
Mm-hmm.
They know when they don't catch anything, like they just did, they know that, you know, their labor was in vain. But when they make a catch or a good size catch, yeah, they probably feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah.
And here the Lord's telling them.
It's their business.
It's their business. And here the Lord's telling them, put out into the deep. And when they did it, they caught a great number of fish. Now this had to impact them very much because they had to have known that on their own, they could have never caught this many fish, especially when they hadn't caught anything all night. And all of a sudden, there was this great multitude of fish that was there. And, you know, I'm just thinking, how much of an impact did that have on them seeing this and what the Lord was going to now tell them? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's interesting, too, that these are all things that they're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
They know about the boat. They know about the nets. They know about the sea. They were on that sea a lot more than he had ever been.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you know, the common things that are used to promote the kingdom and to preach the word and to preach the gospel.
Yeah. Awesome. And it's all about him.
All about him. Wasn't about them being tired.
No.
He could have said, I know you guys are tired and maybe tomorrow we'll do this. Just you got to do it now. It's a time of urgency, as we've talked about before. It's a time of urgency.
Yeah.
We're going to take another break here on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Let you listen to a little music and remind you, too, that the Gift of Grace is now on Facebook. So search for us on Facebook and make comments on the show if you'd like. Get some announcements here and there and just keep in touch. And also on the World Wide Web. What is that address, Steve?
It's www.giftofgraceministries.org.
We'll be right back with you.
The Gift of Grace with Phil and Steve will be back after this timeout. Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
You know, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Great song there. You know, it's all about him.
That's an awesome song.
Yeah, we were just talking about how it wasn't about them, those tired guys that worked all night and cleaned their nets.
Yeah.
And now they were back out there. And it's interesting, too, that Simon, Peter, well, he's not quite Peter yet, but, you know, we'll use him interchangeably. Simon Peter, you know, calls him master.
Right.
And interestingly, that's very interesting considering, you know, they hadn't really known him very long.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually the first time that the word master is used in the Gospels. And the, you know, the Greek word is, and it's only used by Luke. none of the other gospels have the word master, but, you know, Luke was a real scholar of Greek. He was a real learned kind of guy. And, you know, in the Greek, a master is someone who's a teacher that has great authority. You know, we still use that, you know, in terms of, you know, he's a master artist or a master musician.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, people are a master plumber that are, you know, they've done to a certain degree that they're above most of the other people. And it's a term that shows, it's a title of great respect.
Right.
That shows that they're above all the rest of the people. And, you know, Peter recognizes this in a very real way, that Jesus is a teacher with authority, and he wants to follow and obey. Now, again, we don't know what Jesus was talking about in this sermon that he did to all these people, but, you know, it seems like something really struck Peter to say, Master, we'll do it because you're calling us. He must have been moved in some way just by the teaching authority that Jesus had. And so that's the only place where the word master is used, and Luke's the only one who uses it. Right. I thought that was pretty neat.
Right. And, you know, it doesn't say what he was teaching about.
Right.
And that they got into the boat, and he got into Simon's boat by design, and that he asked Simon, you know, just put out a little ways so that he could teach the people. So, and, you know, in that environment, because the water, your voice just mm-hmm. echoes back
yes.
off the water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a natural amplification. So he had a great place to speak at teach all those people.
Wow. Steve's a real sound guy. So I hadn't even thought about that, but see, he's a musician. So the water would help to project his voice.
Right. Cause the sound waves mm-hmm. bounce back up off the water.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty neat. So then the next thing that happens is they get this huge catch of fish that they can't handle it. So, you know, Jesus had commanded them to do this. They brought in this huge catch of fish, this big harvest of fish, so much that they had to call for help. They had to call to people that were in other boats because they couldn't handle this.
Right.
It's just like in Matthew 9, where Jesus said, you know, we need more workers in the field.
Right.
Because the harvest is going to be so great. We got so many fish here, we need more people.
Yeah.
You know, and in Christianity, you know, we have so many denominations and so many different schools of thought and so many different opinions on everything. And what we should be concentrating on is bringing in the catch. To help each other, you know, work together.
Mm-hmm.
And worry less about our own little group or our own little ministry or our own church, is to say, hey, you know, we got to work together to bring these people into the kingdom.
Right.
We got to reach out and spread the kingdom through all these people.
Because what it comes down to is we're all saved by the same blood.
Amen.
The blood of, you know, the blood of Jesus.
Yes. And, you know, it's an amazing sign. Calls them, they go, they're tired, this huge catch, this big harvest of fish. So it's another miracle. You know, it's signs and wonders that, you know, Jesus shows his authority over nature and over the sea and, you know, is Lord of all the creation. And this just really blows Peter away. I mean, Peter's just like, whoa, he falls down in front of Jesus and says, I depart from me. I'm sinful. You know,
yeah.
He realizes what an unworthy person he is, and he's standing in front of the author of creation, the Lord of all the creation.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Isaiah when he sees the vision in the temple. He says, oh, I'm doomed.
Yeah.
He's confronted by his sinfulness.
Right. He's confronted by the sinfulness of God, or his sinfulness, the majesty of God and God's supreme authority.
Yes.
And It makes me wonder, like, what size of a catch was this that it made? Because, I mean, as we're reading the story, it had to be a tremendous amount of fish that their boats couldn't even handle it, and they were in danger of sinking.
Yes.
And
huge.
Peter falls to his knees and is just astounded by what has just happened.
They were all stunned, it says. Yeah. They were all shocked. And Peter just comes apart at the seams.
Yeah.
And, if you know, 20 minutes before this, they weren't planning to go back to work.
Mm-mm.
They were planning to go to bed.
Yeah.
They weren't planning to get back in the boat. They hadn't planned to go back out.
Right.
Peter didn't say to Andrew, okay, let's wait an hour and maybe we'll try it again. They did it because Jesus told them to get in the boat and go back.
Mm-hmm.
And this huge catch comes because they followed.
Right.
And they were successful because of him. And Peter suddenly just comes apart at the seams. He realizes something supernatural's happened, and he's not worthy of it. You know, it's like people in the Old Testament, when they would hear the trumpets and stuff, they'd say, whoa, we can't deal with this.
Right.
Isaiah says, oh, I'm doomed because I saw God's holiness.
Yeah.
You know, God says, you can't see my face and live. And Peter now realizes where he is, that he's inadequate, he's unworthy. They're so impacted now that the three of them say, you know what? Let's forget about the fishing business. We're just going to follow you. We're just going to follow Jesus, because if we're going to be able to do this kind of thing, if he has the authority to do this, we need to follow him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You know, as you're talking, in verse 9, it says, for astonishment at the catch of fish they had made, seized him and all those who were with him. So everybody was just astounded by what had just happened.
Yeah. Wow. We're coming to the end of the show again. Can't believe it.
We'll have to pick this up next week.
We'll pick this up next week. Steve and I will be back in a week to finish up this and add a few more comments about this. And hope you have a great evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow. And we'll be back on The Gift of Grace next week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.